Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, where we walk by faith through the process of dare, where God has called and commissioned us. This place of dare is not necessarily a place in the natural, but it is a spiritual journey where we are moved, where we are transformed, where we grow, and we become more and more like Jesus. It's a place where God calls us to reach higher, to forget those things which are behind and to press towards the mark of the high calling. It is the place where we see the demonstration of God's power in our lives, because he moves us and reproves us and refines us so that we become the light for someone else. We become that which shines so very brightly. We become the salt that they need. We show them and point them to Jesus Christ in the direction of his divine will and love for their life, his forgiveness and compassion. And God uses us in such a way that all the glory goes to him. God always chooses unlikely people for his purpose and his plan, and I'm so glad that he's chosen us for a time like this. We are looking at unlikely places of blessing. This study has been going on since last year, where we're looking at different places in the Bible, and we're seeing the opportunities that God uses to bless his people in unlikely predicaments and places where it seems as if the word of God is not being manifest, or that which God has spoken is not coming to pass. God uses that place to make you, transform you, but he also uses it to endow you with blessings, not only for you, but for your house, for your family, and for a nation. Because when God calls a nation, a people, a person for his purpose and his plan, nothing can refute or stop that word. It will manifest and be all that God says. So in this 15-minute empowerment, you're going to be encouraged in your walk of faith. You're going to be encouraged in the process of that faith. You're going to be encouraged in your everyday life, and you're going to see how God has a plan and a purpose for you that's greater than anything that you've ever gone through or facing or will face in your life. So we're going back to look at Ruth again and look at this unlikely place of blessing financially, how God financially comes through and he's sovereignly saves lives, not only in the financial realm, but he saves hope and he encourages the life of these women so that they are mentioned not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. Ruth is mentioned for her faithfulness. So we're going to go back and look at this again, because Ruth demonstrates of someone that basically has gone beyond herself, and she's now moving in the direction of caring and loving someone else more than herself, and that's what she's done. She has shown the characteristics of integrity and honor, and God blesses her for having that kind of faith and that kind of life and that kind of belief that she would leave the familiar to go and embrace the unfamiliar so that she can be a blessing to her mother-in-law. And by doing this, she now changes the order of her destiny. Because she could have said no. She could have been like her sister-in-law who was Ophram, and she decided to go back to her own people and be with her own people and stay in the familiar. But she did not. She embraces God. She embraces the land that God has given his people. She embraces the people that are her in-laws, and she embraces her mother-in-law. And by doing this, she now has opened the door to change the order of her life. As we go and we look, we see that in chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, we're seeing here that Boaz was Naomi's husband's relative. That she was basically the relative of her husband, so he is in the lineage of doing something great and doing something mighty. When Naomi goes in to her own homeland, she has forgotten about everything that has happened as far as God's faithfulness and the fact that God did not allow her to pass away, didn't allow her to die, but he kept covenant with her because he extended her life because there was something that he wanted to do. Now, I'm going back just a little bit because I want you to understand that sometimes we don't understand how God will use or move in a certain particular way. But there was something that God wanted to see performed and done that was not the same as what the traditions of their lives were. In the famine, they left the house of bread because there was no spiritual bread there, nor was there any natural bread. They go to the Moabite land, and they lived in the Moabites for 10 years. 10 is the place of completion. They lived there for 10 years. And in that 10 years' time, the father is died, and two of the sons. So there we have three widowers here. And so what happens is, in this process, the sons' names mean something. Their names mean weak and frail. And I believe that was not just with their physical body. I believe that was something in their spirit realm. And even though their names are mentioned in the Bible, I believe God wanted to put a faith and a loyalty and integrity in the lineage of the Israelites that was going to carry on and also engraft in the Moabites. And we understand that in the book of, when we look in the New Testament, Jesus goes to the well and he meets a certain woman. He meets this certain woman so that she can be engrafted in and to the Gentiles, with the Gentiles, into this grace that the Lord was going to soon pay the price for. I believe the Lord was engrafting the Moabites in so that they would, and that he was doing it ahead of time, so that their name will be mentioned in the New Testament, even by Jesus, to show the faith of Ruth, who was a Moabite, to show what God was up to show that God was getting ready to do something. Because the Bible says that they could, that it does not restrict them from marrying the Moabites, but it prohibited the Moabites from coming in into the temple, for receiving from the temple. But this was prior to Jesus' death, prior to his resurrecting. And we understand that when he got up, he engrafted in. The mystery was he was giving all of us the equal rights of our Jewish brothers and sisters, that we will have the same benefits, blessings, grace that they had. And I believe the Lord was allowing them to see that there would no longer be any restrictions to them coming into the temple. And by allowing her to be in that lineage, by allowing her to come in, he was showing them that I'm taking down the restrictions. I'm going to take down the veil that keeps you separated. And I'm going to let you know that you coming in, even through the bloodline, my blood is going to make it so that your engrafting is going to be a permanent thing and not a temporary thing, that it won't be. The marriage of what you're getting ready to do will be an eternal one. You doing it in the natural, but it's, I'm getting ready to do something that's going to represent eternal life and eternal relationship and eternal blessing. So we see that God will sometimes change the order of things, and we may not understand it. We may not even sometimes agree with it, but we don't know what lies ahead, and we don't know the perfect plan of God as far as when it goes into our future. There are some things that God will not allow and will not do, and we may not understand it at that time, but we will later on. And then there are some things that we will only know when we see him. So I believe that God was allowing this to be a spiritual impartation that was greater than a physical or a natural line of impartation. God was doing something that was spiritually, that was going to be seen and evident in after he came and after he died and after he was arisen. So I think that God was allowing us to see that he can choose anyone and do it any way he wants to for his glory, and that his plans are perfect. We see that even after Ruth comes back, Ruth joins herself to Naomi, and they come back to Bethlehem. And Ruth basically has said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying with you. I'm loyal to you. I'm not going to move. We see that she basically, Naomi basically goes back, and people are happy that she's coming back, but she's impoverished. So the way that she came back was not the way that she left. She left full, and she comes back empty. She comes back impoverished. She comes back with no husband and no sons. She comes back with grief and loss. She comes back saying that God has dealt bitterly with her, but she's forgetting the fact that she has a daughter-in-law that is taking on the responsibility of the first son. The first son in the Bible is supposed to take on the responsibility that when the father dies and the mother is left, that he will take care of the mother's responsibilities and take the mother into his house and make sure she's taken care of. Well, Ruth is taking on this responsibility. She's saying that I'll do what he's not here to do. I'll work to get us some food. I'll do what is necessary because I need to make sure that you understand that my loyalty for you is more than just a natural loyalty. I'm spiritually connected to you, and I'm going to show you that I will be loyal in all manners and serving you and loving you and protecting you and providing for you. And this is during a time when women had very little rights, or they did not have the rights that we see today, but she's taking on that responsibility and not shunning it or running away from it. See, Naomi speaks and she has forgotten that beside her is God's faithfulness, saying, I've given you someone to walk with you. I've given you someone to walk through this with you. And sometimes we can forget who God has sent to be loyal to us, who God has allowed to be on our side the whole time. And it may be someone that we've just forgotten or overlook or don't see in the light that they should be, but it may be a spouse that continually prays for you, a friend, a pastor, an intercessor that keeps your name up. So God will always have someone that stands with you, not just someone in the natural, but he's always there. He will never leave us forsaken. The Holy Spirit is inside of us, a very present help in the time of trouble. So we're not alone, even when we feel that we are alone. And Naomi's at this place where she's so bitter and she's so angry that she wants to change her name to Myra, which means bitter. But God will not even allow her to stay in that state for long. Even though she's there and even though she's experiencing this and she may be angry and she may be angry even at God because life has dealt her such a bitter hand and she can't see the goodness of the Lord, God is going to turn it around. And we have to be very careful that in a time when it looks like life has not dealt with us the best hand or given us what we thought or haven't turned out the way we thought or planned it, that we are careful not to speak too hastily about God and about life and about where we are, that even in the midst of where we are, we should still be speaking faith and still be speaking the will of God, because it will turn in our favor, because God has already promised some things for us and to us. So we see that when they return, it's time for Barley Fest. And that is the beginning of something new, of a harvest, beginning of something that God is going to do. This is speaking and testifying to what God is going to do in their life. I don't have any more time for today. We'll be back next week, and we'll go further into this. Please understand and know that God has something brand new, that your barley fest, that something else is going to be harvested in your life, regardless of what you face and what you've been through. God has something better, and if you can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and know that he's faithful, it's going to turn around in your favor. He's going to give you something that eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard. Have a blessed, wonderful worship experience this weekend. Give God joy, a joyful praise, and know that he's faithful. God bless you.